The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch
begins now. And then we're going to talk to our Brewers guy, Dom Catronio, at the bottom of the hour. So let's fit in a little bit of Packers conversation, which is generally what we focus on here on this program. And we'll get to more of it later on in the show as well. Tausch, I wanted to start with my conversation with Zach Tom yesterday when I name-checked you and Bulaga. Because, look, all three of us, but you guys are the ones who played the same position, think very, very highly of him. He did not think very, very highly of his own performance. He described his performance the same way that Elgton Jenkins had performed, had described his performance a couple weeks ago with the S word. I think I played like blank. My profanity in our exchange was, Zach, if you were in so much pain after Sunday's game that you couldn't remember a lot of what happened in the game, how the F are you going to do this another 12 weeks? There's no bye weeks. And I was talking about this with Domofsky. Remember a few years ago when Alan Lazard had what used to be referred to as a sports hernia, a core muscle injury, or an oblique, which is what they're describing Zach Tom's injury as, but they're all basically the same thing, and it's painful. And you can't put a brace on it. You can't really tape it up. He's clearly going to get some sort of a injection. He would not say that, but when I tried to press him on it, he kept smiling and just saying, I feel good about our plan. I feel good about our plan. What is the most painful thing you played through during your time? And how on earth, I would not be tough enough to do this. How do you mind over matter something like that to play that specific position and be crashing into dudes and get your body put in awkward positions? How's he going to do this?
Well, I don't know what their prehab plan and, you know, whether they're going to do medication. I don't know what that plan looks like. So it stinks. And the hardest part for this, and you would think the physical part of this is the hardest because you're in pain. That's not the case. It's the mental drag because it never leaves you. You're thinking about, boy, I hope I feel good when I wake up. You literally will go to bed and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow morning. And from a practice standpoint, I'm sure they're going to limit him immensely. And then you start thinking mentally, well, if I'm not practicing, how the heck am I going to go out there and play? And then it's like, well, I don't know. How am I going to hold up? The mental drain that being limited physically takes on you is far worse than any of the actual physical limitations you can have. And that probably seems crazy for me to say, but I'm telling you, it is. And, you know, so for me, I tore my plantar fasciitis. I tore it. It was, and I could not sleep. Like, I would have to put my foot in one of those bendy deals just so that you could take some of the pressure off. The problem was you'd sleep okay then, but then it took a while to get it where you could actually bend it back down, and trying to put a shoe on to get over to practice and then to warm up and to do all that and then to practice. And then you have to go through that same process over and over. And I did that early in the season, and there was no magic pill or anything that was going to help to be able to get back out there and feel like you were ever going to be close to 100%. And this game is hard enough, especially, you know, for me, it was hard enough to, you know, I got to go out and block Julius Peppers. I got to go block. And now I'm doing it with all of this, and I have to put in this extra effort just to get to the point where then I can go study the film, then I can go practice. It is a emotional wear that Zach is going to be going through.
Well, if they can get him through and the rest of their offensive line can stick together and all stay healthy, it would appear that they have settled on Jordan Morgan as their right guard. And maybe Sean Ryan's going to get a series each week now. They've been trying to replace him for 3 years, and now they have. But if they stay healthy, look, they had a lot of good things in that game. And it helped that Trey Hendrickson left the game with a hip injury, right? But they got the running game going. It was the most productive game this season that Josh Jacobs has had. Love made some nice plays with his legs. We'll get into that coming up. But to me, I feel like their offensive line is trending in the very much the right direction as long as they can keep Zach Tom healthy enough to play on Sunday. And I thought it was really interesting, which I'm sure you read at channel3000.com, that the pain, such that it was, wasn't even, it was third on his list of concerns about his performance. After his conditioning, which he said, you can see on the film, I'm huffing and puffing, and his technique. And again, this is the value of, I mean, there's lots of value to you, but among them is you've been through all these things that we're talking about here for 11 years. You were a believer in practice. You could not go on the Chad Clifton big Lamborghini program. You and Bulaga both always say, I needed practice to feel good by Sunday. So now we know that Zach Tom is not, he didn't practice yesterday. I would assume he'll practice on a limited basis the next 2 days now. But if you're not practicing, he said, I got to run extra gassers to try and get my wind up. Can you be in good physical condition cardiovascularly and have your technique be good if you're limiting yourself during the week so you can get to game day?
It makes it tough. And you do, you know, you do try to go do biking and some things that maybe run in the pool, try to do some more low impact things, because the last thing you want to do is set back off of the injury. But there are, you know, I say this all the time, the only way to get better at football is by playing football. And being healthy helps you do that. But for most of us, Cliffy was a special, he was a special breed, man. He just was, he's one of those God-gifted cats that had that quick twitch and had all the things. And you can do some certain things, and then you can kind of fall into that pattern, and you figure it out. Zach has got to, he's still early in his career. He's still trying to figure this out. This is his, you know, first real time that I think he's had to deal with this and go out and try and play. It becomes a, it's a real grind, and you have to figure out what you need to do to balance trying to be as fresh and as healthy as you can for Sunday and trying to make sure you're sharp enough that you can do the job. That is a very thin line that you have to kind of walk.
I want to get into something that we talked about with Jordan Love yesterday, and I also wrote about it at channel3000.com. But we can't do that until Tausch tells us about Kohler Services.
A refreshing offer for a bath or shower remodel. And if you're looking for someone, Kohler Services is the group to do it. And this month only, you get zero interest financing for 12 months. Plus, you get a free shower door with that Lugstone shower remodel. My old pal Chris from Oosberg, one of their many skilled installers, they'll demo your existing bath or shower, remove it, dispose of it before installing your brand new dream Kohler shower. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com. to request your free quote with fast professional installation. That is always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
A free shower door. A free shower door. Skin, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the week.
I
was going to say one thing. Skeens, Paul Skeens. Loving Paul Skeens. Jordan Love is running the ball more often. He has apparently been given the nickname Silly Body. We'll explain and ask, is that a nickname you'd want? Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, when need to get ready to talk to Dom to discuss the Brewers and their effort level. I do want to get to this briefly, though. We'll save Jordan Love and his silly body nickname, which, as Josh points out, is actually something that came up a few years ago when Bakhtiari was still on the team. I believe they made T-shirts and everything after Ronica made some comment on a video or something. But I do want to get into the dangers versus the pros of him running, because that has been a new layer to this offense. Gabe asked me to inquire of Jeff Hafley today about playing off coverage on some shorter third downs. And he's crafting the question as he would like me to ask it. My question for you is this something that has stood out to you?
Why don't you just have him go? Why don't you just give him your press pass? Let him go.
Well, he could come up. He's got a lot going on, though. He's a busy guy.
I know. He's a national guy. In the Bengals game. No, I think it's great. You're really good at your job, and then you're really good at kind of sourcing things too. It's smart. It's just good business by you. I didn't notice that a ton. Matter of fact, early in the season, weren't we talking about how the RDBs were stopping on routes and batting the ball away because they didn't need to because of the pass rush? Well, I think the quality of the wide receivers that Cincinnati had, and the fact that Joey F can throw the deep ball, I think that probably changed maybe some of the thoughts that Jeff Hafley had. And when you have a lead, you don't want to give up big plays. I think there's some things. I am not as concerned. Ja'Marr Chase, the dog.
Yeah, he's very good.
I don't think, and this is one of the things that drives Packer fans and football fans crazy, is when it's 3rd and 7 and you play 10 yards deep and they catch a 7-yard out and they get a first down. And you're like, what are you doing? Challenge the sticks. And I actually think Hafley is very good at having his guys challenge the sticks. I think he has guys roving, and he's got Xavier McKinney kind of floating around there trying to read it. But there were a few instances, I thought, last game. I do not think this is some epidemic. The 3 yards behind the first down marker epidemic of stopping first downs. I don't
like it was
that
with Joe Barry.
Part of the Hafley. It was an issue with Joe Barry. There's no doubt. Yes.
All right, we're going to be smarter about the Brewers and see if Dom Catronio will give us reasons for optimism. The fact that Yamamoto and Snell aren't pitching gives us at least a little reason for hope. We'll talk to him next.
You think he's going to like Dom and Jerry?
If he doesn't, I'm going to be very disappointed in him. Because I think
he's
it's clever.
Like it.
Good post
game.
He ain't
going to like it. He won't like it, no.
I don't. We'll find out together next. Dom and Jerry. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Joining us now, no one would ever question this guy's effort. Certainly not us. Maybe Ben Brust. It is our friend Dom Catronio on Wilde and Tausch. Dom, good morning. How are you?
We're going right off the top rope here, right off the jump. We're going there.
Well, we got after Ben earlier. He walked it back, in fairness to him. But I don't know. I watched the first two games. I didn't see a lack of effort. I saw a lack of hitting against two good pitchers. You tell me.
I will tell you what. I was flying cross country yesterday. I had Wi-Fi in the air, and that clip comes across my timeline. I watched the whole thing. I tried to listen to a little bit more of the show. I texted Ben. We had a conversation, and I'm glad he walked it back. That's all I'm saying about that. You know, I think a man in the arena would understand what the Brewers are going through, and I thought a Brewers fan would understand what they're going through. And the language that he used, as in, I will never, ever, 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 ever question a team's effort in the playoffs. I just won't, and I don't see that. I see them getting beat, which is just frustrating. They got beat these two games, and
yep.
Now you shake it off and get ready for game three tonight.
So,
Benny walked that back. So, Dom, I think Jason was just going to ask you this, but is it just tip the cap to the pitching, or is this something deeper and you're more concerned about where our bats are at?
Mm-hmm.
How do you view this heading out to L.A.?
Yeah, I think there are two things working against the Brewers right now. Number one, yeah, the Dodgers are that good. I mean, the starting pitching is that good. And we can sit here and talk about, oh, best regular season, right? Oh, they went 6-0. Okay, look, the Dodgers had a luxury of knowing they were going to be in October. They played the entire regular season knowing that being able to sit, you know, if the speed limit's 70 miles an hour, they were sitting 65 in the right lane the whole season. They were going to get there. They knew they were going to get there, maybe a little slower, maybe a little differently than maybe teams are used to. Not this, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to challenge the Seattle Mariners for the most wins in a regular season, 116 wins, you know. But they said, you know what? The only thing that matters is as soon as we hit the freeway and as soon as it opens up and you're driving, you know, once you get past Madison and if you're going west, all right, put it down in the left lane, let's go. You know, put it down to 85. And that's what they're doing right now in the postseason. That's the first thing. They played the whole regular season saying, make sure Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Shohei are ready for October. Number two, the Brewers have tried to change their game. And I know what you're thinking. Don, why would you change your game heading into October? Well, you look at these two performances that the Dodgers threw at them. And the first performance was as dominant as we'll ever see. The Brewers tried to, all right, well, let's wait back, try to work counts. Oh, my God, it's 0-2 every time. Okay, you can't do that against Yamamoto. So what they did is they tried to be aggressive against Yamamoto, which I'm not against. It's just a lack of execution. They had 12 first-pitch swings in that game against Yamamoto. Only one of them was a hit, and that was Churio's leadoff homer. So you can be aggressive, but you got to be able to adjust the game plan when it's not working out.
Boy, that is – see, and I just said this to promote your appearance. We are smarter when we get to talk to you, and this – I saw that same stat, and it made me wonder if there was a reason behind them not doing what they normally do, how do you then, Dom, figure out a way to make them get deep into counts so you can get into their bullpen where you have a chance to be successful when you also, and I think you're right, like, it doesn't do you any good to take the first two pitches and both be strikes, and then you're trying to fight off foul balls at least to get deeper and throw more pitches. Like, this feels like a rock and a hard place situation to me.
Chicken and egg.
It is exactly that. It's exactly a rock and a hard place. So, and it becomes a, well, if you take pitches early and they're throwing strikes, the other side of the argument is like, well, swing at strikes. Yeah, of course. So what I see, the number one flaw that the Brewers are dealing with right now is they don't have a hit on a non-fastball in this series. In these two games, the only hits they have come on fastballs, and that's just not going to cut it. They're 0 for 34 against non-fastballs. And
what are they, Pedro Serrano?
No help with curveball.
The whole team, no curveball. Hit curveball. But
somebody called Joe Boo.
The thing is today, don't take Joe Boo's rum. The Glasnow today is a very simple pitch mix. And here's the beauty of Glasnow. He's in the zone. You know he's going to be in the zone. He really only has one chase pitch. That's his curveball down. He's what we call a north-south pitcher in baseball, meaning he wants fastballs up, curveballs down, sliders down. Anything in the middle is a mistake, and the Brewers should be all over it. He will walk batters. He will be out of the zone more often than Yamamoto and Snell were. But it has to start today, and quite frankly, the Blue Jays showed the blueprint last night. Hit bombs. Now, is the Brewers roster capable of doing that against Glasnow? We'll see. But hit bombs. I mean, that certainly helps change the scoreboard and not have to rely on rallies.
Boy, that's really good advice there. Hit bombs. I like that.
I know,
We should have thought of that a couple. You know, your analogy, Dom, by the way, love a good analogy. I'm a big fan. Why don't we get some cops? They're going 85 down at 11. Let's get some cops out there and enforce that when they're doing that. Yelly, Christian Yelich, he's taken a lot of heat, I think, from Brewers fans. He's obviously struggling. What are you saying? You can hear it in his press conferences and when people are talking to him. He's pressing. He wants to be great. Do you move him in the lineup? If you're Pat Murphy, what do you do with Yelly right now?
I think two things with Yelly. I think you can get away with moving him to the fifth spot in the order, kind of being the restarter of the lineup, and then that would slide Andrew Vaughn to the cleanup spot, in my opinion. So what you would do today is you'd keep Churio in the leadoff spot, Terang hitting second, Contreras third, Vaughn fourth, and then Yelly fifth is what I would do. And then I imagine Jake Bowers is going to start in left field today. Do they want to go back-to-back lefties there, Yelly six, Bowers, or Yelly five, Bowers six, Frelick seven? That would be a window, a pocket for the Dodgers to throw a lefty at you there, but then you could always pinch it and that sort of thing. So I wonder if we could see that tweak today. But on the Yelly front, I promise everybody, you know, with the way that he does a press conference and the way that he talks to the media, you have to appreciate his level-headedness throughout the season, right? People were critical when he's too boring. Like, why don't you say something when you just went 4-for-5 against the Reds with the Euchre bat and hit two homers? He's the same. Yeah, I mean, it's baseball. It's cool. Like, he's the same guy. So I think that that's a trait that is rare to find in baseball. He is the same. He understands the length of the season. And let's be honest, guys, because it's October and everyone's heightened, one swing changes your entire viewpoint. He goes bomb tonight in his hometown, right? He's a Southern California kid. He goes bridge tonight. We're suddenly, oh, my goodness, Yelly's back. The Brewers were never going to win this series without Christian Yelich performing offensively. So the sooner that happens, the better.
Let's go. Hit bombs. Yelly, hit a bomb. Who is going to be not trying to let the Dodgers hit bombs? What do you think Murph is thinking with his idea on starters, openers, or how do you think that's going to shake out today?
I think you have to use Quintana in some fashion today. I don't know if I would use an opener. I think it would be kind of wild to have Robert Gasser be an opener, given what he did against Ohtani the other day was kind of notable. Like, he could be an Ohtani stopper. Mm-hmm. But I personally, I'm starting Jose Quintana and giving him two times through the order and see where you're at. Because the Brewers, let's look at it both ways. Let's say he goes two times through the order. We're moving to a fifth inning, and the Brewers are up 2-0. Okay, yeah, it's easier to hand it to the bullpen there. But let's say they're going the third time through the order, and it's 3-1 Dodgers. That makes it a little bit more difficult. Do you try to squeeze one more plate appearance against Shohei there at the top? I wouldn't be surprised if they use an opener, but I think Quintana needs to pitch in this game because I know they have both Miz and Quintana available technically. I'm looking to Miz for some length tomorrow. Neither one of them have gone very long in the last month, so you need to be creative here and then try to survive until game five when you can hand the ball to Quinn Priester again.
Dom, before we let you go, because you've been awesome today and super insightful, we appreciate that. I am on the world famous website DominicMCatronio.com, which looks like it could use a little bit of updating. A couple things have gone on since, there's some great stuff here that I didn't know about you, so I've learned more about you. But as a baseball guy, I have a very important question.
Divvy.
When you watched the Blue Jays yesterday, did you think their pitcher Bieber looked like Dave Steeb in those old uniforms? Because I was having flashbacks to my youth.
That man, you're after my heart there, going with some retro names like that, man. Did he, with the stash and with the way
yes!
that he was hanging a curveball? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the Blue Jays are fun, man. I think you know, if somebody asked me my World Series prediction at the beginning of the postseason, I said Brewers and Blue Jays because that would be the most baseball-y series ever, where you've got two teams that play elite defense, you've got a great mustache in Shane Bieber. Even, you know, you look at the Brewers, whenever Joey Ortiz decides to keep his mustache, it's a pretty good stash as well. Mm-hmm. There's some... It's kind of back in vogue right now. You know, you're seeing a few more guys wrapping the lip lettuce a little bit more.
Well, was it Pat Borders? Who was the catcher for Steve and Jimmy Key? Was it Pat
Borders? Sure,
was
it Ernie Witt?
Ernie Witt. It might have been Ernie Witt. Left-hander? Yeah. Big left-hander.
Tom, in all seriousness, do you do this with your, like, baseball buddies? Tausch and I are
you
so,
have to.
It's obnoxious how often we do
it's
this.
It's fun.
You know, I was just texting Unesky Betancourt to a friend the other day, too. You know, just sort of blast from the past names. And you know who else did this? And I will be always grateful to Bob Costas for coming on the program the day that Bob Uecker's passing was announced. Bob and Bob did this with each other, texting each other old names from the 50s and 60s. Hall of Famers, they're just like us. Remember that guy? Just doing this and... You know, I'm scrolling TikTok yesterday, and some kid's trying to slander Mike Young with the Texas Rangers. If these kids don't know how good Mike Young is, then I'm out of a job. This guy was so good. So it's just names that you don't remember from the past. And just it was cool to see the Home Run Derby. We saw J.J. Hardy in the stands this weekend. And just, yeah, some smiles of just dusting off some baseball reference pages is always fun.
And Eric Thames
Freddie McGriff
tearing his shirt off.
No, was it Olerud or was Freddie McGriff on that 93 team?
Olerud was.
Wearing Freddie his helmet in the field. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Olerud.
Yeah.
Hey, Dom, before we go, Jesse came up with a fun moniker for your he was listening to your show after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
the whole way back
he thinks
from the
Dom
game,
and huh? Jerry. Dom and Jerry?
Yeah.
Is that something you get on board with?
Mike Vassallo was the first to call that one out, Brewers PR man, a couple of years ago when
Jesse
I first got the job. He's like, so wait. He instantly was like, so wait, are we going to have a Dom and Jerry show? I'm like, well, I mean, does a bear crap in the woods? So I guess it becomes Dom and Jerry.
Are you opposed? Are you opposed to a cartoon? A cartoon version of each of you. One is a cat and one is a mouse.
I'm sure by the end of the day, maybe the thumbnail of this appearance will be an AI-generated of me as Tom and Jerry as Jerry. So maybe that'll be funny.
Dom, in all seriousness, we are so appreciative of the time you spend with us. We are always better for it. Thanks for making – I know you've got a ton on your plate these days. Thanks for making time for us. It means a lot.
Brewers in seven. Let's go, boys.
Let's go.
I hope he's right.
Well done.
That'd be great.
Well done, right.
To get it to seven, you got to start by winning one. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that happens tonight. We'll have more Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Go, baby, go, go, go.
Again to Dom Catronio. He always makes us way smarter with his insights.
Yeah, brought some great stats with us to us today.
Yeah, he was again,
1 for 13 or whatever it was on first pitch. And
yeah, I don't want it. I don't want us ever faking it. And he allows us him and Justin Garcia and when on the Bucks. I mean that. I hope people understand that we're really lucky to have such a stable of people that are willing to come on our show to do a better job than we could of making you a better informed fan. So thanks to him. Speaking of being informed, I was reading this from my guy, Justice Mosqueda, about a report from Jeremy Fowler, because I'm not always, there's a lot of things whizzing by me. I don't catch it all. But apparently,
the big
Jeremy,
Wizenator, they call you
the Wizenator. Yes, Ontario Smith, was he the Wizenator?
Yeah, the old tailback, Oregon guy, duck, just like you.
So it was out there, Jerry, that the San Francisco 49ers have been inquiring for trade assistance for pass rushers. Because they lost whichever Bosa they have, right? He's out for the year,
Nick.
I think.
Nick.
I think he's the Nick one. The other one's the Joey, and Joey's in Buffalo now?
Yes.
But Justice had this in a post on the Acme Packing Company page from Jeremy Fowler, who I had not seen this. Yeah, Bosa's out with an ACL tear. Other potential options, and let me say this first. Jeremy Fowler does a really good job. He couches everything because he definitely sounds does not want to be wrong, which sounds is exactly like how I would do bit. Things if I was
yeah,
an insider, but I'm not.
You're a Steinhopper.
So, very much so.
You kind of do that and you're not an insider.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you don't even
you couch things that don't even need to be couched.
Also fair. I will wear all those things. Other potential options I suspect the 49ers will check on, including edge rushers Rashawn Gary, Packers, Jalen Phillips of the Dolphins, Bradley Chubb of the Dolphins, blah, 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 Will McDonald of the Jets. The Jets would really trade Will McDonald. If the Packers won't part with Gary, and I don't think they would, Jeremy writes, they have pass rusher Kingsley Enagbare, a former starter who's relegated to a reserve role in a contract year. Pass rusher could elicit the most movement on the trade market overall, and I suspect San Francisco will be involved to some extent. That's a lot of couching.
Tim Couch.
Eric Crouch.
Pretty good.
Did he come to camp while you were playing as like a?
Yeah, I remember.
Did he like move to safety or something? I think. My question for you, because I was asked this on Jen Gabe and Chewy this morning about Rashawn Gary, and I am not in any way politicking for them to trade Rashawn Gary.
Oh boy! Oh boy! This sounds.
I not only couch things, I also deliver caveats and precursors before I say anything. If you're paying Micah Parsons what you're paying him.
$45 million. What is it? $44 million?
Yeah. $188 million in new money. If you're paying him that, and Rashawn Gary's getting paid a pretty penny. I know his cap number for this year is $25 million. I believe it goes significantly higher next year. And you traded away two first-round picks to get Micah Parsons. If you were to get, say, a second round pick for Rashawn Gary, and then you play Kingsley Enagbare in his stead, is that something Goody would be willing to listen to? I don't see him trading anybody to the 49ers. Why would you help the 49ers who you're competing with in the NFC?
You do that if you can get a big pick and you don't think that they're a threat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe
they're
not.
San Francisco, as currently constituted, I don't think they're going to be a big threat, but I would have said that three or four years ago when they came in here and blocked a kick and stole a playoff game. So I would agree with you. The question I have is, will Rashawn Gary, as the contract sits right now, be on the G&G in April of next year?
Well,
what do they owe him?
So, first of all,
you're Johnny Spotrack.
I am. I'm on it right now, and I have the information. But before I answer about the 4-year, $96 million extension he signed.
I don't know.
Are you counting answering what his contract is?
No.
No. No, I'm saying, Jason, you think he's going to be on the team in April? I don't know.
Let me know when you're done.
I'm done. Remember when Frank Caliendo did Mel Kiper and he goes, hey, 6'5", 220 pounds, and he's shaking his head. What are you shaking your head for? He's 6'5", 220.
If you had asked me this question after three games, when he had 4.5 sacks in the first three games, I would have said, yeah, He'll definitely be on the roster. He's going to finish with double-digit sacks for the first time in his career. Now we're sitting here at game five, and he still has 4.5 sacks, and he's been a non-factor the last two games.
Yeah, that Dallas game was disappointing. Really disappointing.
So, I mean, on his end. Here's the contract information. Right now, this year, he is counting $25.77 million against the cap.
Okay.
He has two more years left. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that's baked into the cake. His salary, you would get a very limited amount. Next year, what is it?
Next year, which will be his age 29 season, his cap number is $28
million. Yeah.
And then his age 30 season in 2027, his cap number is $31 million.
Roster bonus in May and March, or is it all just salary?
Roster. He does not have a roster bonus that would be a blank or get off the pot type bonus, making you make a decision per Spoltrak.
So Green Bay has cap space. They don't need to trade Rashawn. I don't think they will this year.
I don't think so either.
I can definitely see them doing this in March or April. He's getting to that point. He's that age. They have committed to Micah. They have young players. They're going to have to make a decision on LVN.
Correct.
He's cheaper, or he's younger, and it'll probably be cheaper than what they're paying Rashawn right now, unless he pops. Yes. Mm-hmm. This will be a spot that I would think you'd be looking for a young buck to come up so that when Micah's deal comes up and he gets to be 30, you have a replacement for him. That's the cycle.
Circle of life.
I think Rashawn Gary's time in Green Bay, if there is an offer, I saw this report and I thought, I understand why this report is out there. Sometimes it's like, that's foolishness, that's clickbait.
Yep, agreed.
I didn't feel that way with this. That's why I sent it to you guys yesterday, because there's some there. There's a little there. San Francisco needs it, because this is going to be the scenario. Green Bay will more than likely look to either trade him or give him a cap-friendly extension where he might have to take a little back. And I don't think Rashawn's going to want, depending on, now if he balls out and gets 15 sacks, this conversation changes. But as we sit here right now, Goody is looking at this, and when there's no guaranteed money left on a deal, players get antsy. Uh-huh. Organizations start looking at it like, well, I don't want to commit more. So it actually, if San Francisco calls tomorrow and says, Gutnader, we'll give you a third with a conditional second if Rashawn Gary balls out, Brian Gutekunst is going to listen to that. I don't know if he'll take it, but he's going to listen, because otherwise, if you end up in March looking at it and Rashawn Gary has 7 sacks and he's a mid-impact player,
yeah,
they're not going to pay him $29 million bucks next year. Not when Micah is making what he's making. So I don't think it's a crazy thought, is I guess my point.
Yeah, I would not dismiss it either. But again, I have a hard time picturing when you are the team, if you are the team you think you are, parting with a guy who, inconsistency notwithstanding, he strikes me as a guy that you want on your team if you're trying to chase a championship. So even if you'd like to get a second-round pick to kind of replenish your draft picks because you gave up 2 first-rounders for Micah, I think you have to think long and hard about that, and I think you have to think, I don't want to pull a Josh Hader trade.
Let me ask you this. What's more likely? Enagbare getting traded for a 7th / potential 6th, or Gary third conditional 2nd?
Enagbare, I would think.
I think Enagbare can play.
I do too.
Like Rashawn Gary's a good football player, but if I can get a 2nd for Rashawn Gary, I think between Lucas Van Ness and Enagbare, you can maybe
Baron Sorrell.
They like him too. you know, Goody will say you got to let young players develop. Now, the math has changed, by the way, and this is why I don't think a trade's happening, and you said it, because this is a championship year, and they can figure this out with Rashawn. Rashawn will still have value to trade next offseason. So I don't think the Green Bay Packers are in the mindset of getting rid of really good football players this year. But it is intriguing that I think you could tease Goody into thinking about it and then him make a tough decision. I do think that's in play.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. If I set the prize picks projection of over the next two games,
yep,
Rashawn Gary will have 1.5 sacks. Are you taking more or less?
Arizona and Pittsburgh. Rodgers getting. I think Rodgers will be very deliberate getting rid of the ball. I'm going to take less.
It's good to be right if you're right.
What would you more likely, a wide receiver being traded or Rashawn Gary being traded before the deadline?
So, again, I don't think either of them are likely, and I'm not going to say, I don't know.
It's also not on Prize Picks.
I said more than likely, yeah. I did. Yep.
I would say a wide receiver.
Ooh.
But here's
Wicks.
So here's why.
Wicks.
You've got Watson coming back soon. You've got Reed coming back eventually.
Yeah.
You've got Matthew Golden emerging.
Yeah. You're bullying the coach to throw him the ball more, yeah? You think they're going to get rid of Wicks, don't you?
Look, the fact of the matter is...
Yeah, you do.
If they're
going to
trade a wide receiver...
Wow, your boy!
If they're going to trade a wide receiver, I want to win the Boldathon. So I
want
them dealing Romeo. And then you give Wicks the snaps you're taking away from Romeo. Yeah. But no, I'm not... And by the way, before Michael even says anything in the YouTube comments... I am not trying to get rid of Romeo Doubs. I said that merely because I would like to be right on my prediction. They are not trading him.
They can't get rid of him after he did this thing the other day. With the gif with his...
I missed that.
You know, that
when he was sitting down?
Gif of the year. He was in the end zone after the touchdown, and they panned to him on CBS, and he was just going with it like this. With his
He had a nice move when he after he caught a ball, and he was sitting, too. Those aren't on Prize Picks either, though.
No, they're not. Prize Picks, the best way to win cash. While watching our favorite teams, and it is the best time of the year for Prize Picks. Playoff baseball, hockey, NBA, and, of course, the NFL. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn your takes into cash all season long on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is simple to play. More or less, on at least two player stats, you get your picks right, you cash in. Pretty simple. Got Giannis. You can go Jordan Love. We'll go over all of our prize picks tomorrow. Josh Jacobs. You can go with Sachs. If it's Micah. You got it all right there on Prize Picks. And they put their users first. All withdrawals fast, safe, and secure. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. Join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Use that code WI, you get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is the Prize Picks app, and use the code WI for $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good
to be right. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.